So
the entire glass. Oh.
Sean, your glass of stout is in the fridge.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Hey, what you do with your stout is your business. Just don't let Deanne do anything with your stout.
I'm not doing anything with your stout. So, we're
you're dangerous.
I know. I'm not used to this.
All right, I'm good.
Here. Are you guys loaded?
No, we're good.
We're all loaded.
No, you're loaded.
I'm in a different seat this week.
Sean, are you loaded?
I'm loaded. I'm locked and loaded.
John, are you loaded?
Ready to go.
Dan,
double barrel, baby.
Dan, double barrel, and Mike J.
I am
special guest, featured. Are you ready?
Featured guest, I like it.
All right, cool. All right, so we're the Worldwide IT Guys podcast, and we'd like to welcome you to week bleep, whatever. Insert number.
23?
Steve?
Insert number here.
24? Yeah, think, that's half a year.
Oh, Jesus. We've got
that's
to 20.
That's half a year, right?
We've you made know? It to 24. Wow.
That's not quite half a year, right? Oof. So 27.
Yeah, we'll give it to you.
Yeah. Half a work year.
That's hard.
Yeah.
You've got a good radio base going.
Oh, I do? Oh, thank you.
Base.
We're all in. We're the Worldwide ITS podcast.
I do traffic and weather here on the podcast. On the eights.
On the eights. Oh, goodness. So, So, 24. Where do we want to start with? Where are we going?
Well, as I walk in, I thought of a couple stories that would be fun for the podcast, you know, this being IT and us having a Trump fascination.
Always. Always a Trump.
Jeb Bush.
Oh, God.
Forgot to read
the Jeb Bush. JebBush.com.
JebBush.com.
Things God. Like he never really owned it in the first place. He just never thought about buying it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah.
So it was just out there for someone to take. And Bush, no, go ahead and finish the story.
Well, I would like to hear what really happened. So the way it was told to me on Twitter but from the Donald himself.
The Don.
Was that Jeb Bush forgot to renew it, and the Donald bought it then.
He bought that shit.
And it now forwards to DonaldTrumpForPresident.com.
But he could have been so creative in what he did with JebBush.com. It could have been like Jeb Bush, like 3D.
Two girls, one cup. Pour it into that. It's
like, you know. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh.
But the thing is, that's the story you hear on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I read some more articles where Trump's PR people came back and said, we did not officially buy it. Some of our supporters might have done something, but Donald Trump is not involved in it. Mm-hmm.
Sure. He's never involved in anything. And
I'm sure Donald Trump isn't going to ICANN registries and seeing, oh, geez, this looks like it's going to become available in 48 hours. And I'm going to read. Yeah, of course. You know, at that level. I mean, people do forget. It is so easy to lose a domain when you're part of a big corporation. The Dallas Cowboys lost their domain. Google lost their own goddamn domain.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, it's always, like, it happened 5 years ago back when the internet is still kind of, if you look in five-year increments, the internet is not that old.
Yeah.
And your company may not be that old. So it might have been some woman in billing who bought it 5 years ago. You know, if you're a company like Uber, that was probably a 3-employee company when they bought that domain, right?
Yeah.
You know, who knows who has the domain?
Don't ask me who is responsible for all the domain approvals for the company that we currently work for, because it's a pair of administrative assistants who get requests via tickets, and they're basically like, they approve everything, and then at the end of the day, it's like, should we approve that? We don't care. It's only $7 or $14 or $28, so it's fine. But at the end of the day, it's not somebody who specifically knows the value of the domain that you've just bought.
Sure, yeah.
So I once dated a girl, and I helped her get a website up and
going. Here we go. It's a Domino server in your closet. Go ahead.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
What did you do to her domain?
Anyways.
Yes.
So I bought the domain name.
Yeah.
And I got everything up for her.
Yeah.
Ready to go. And then we broke up about a year later.
How dirty was that URL?
Pretty
much. Tell us what the URL was. It's got to be dirty.
Her domain expired.
Yeah. What was her domain?
And she's like, since you own this domain, I need you to sign over to me. I'm like,
well, this is like a small business she decided to run or something.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll keep it. And she threatened to sue me.
Oh, yeah?
What was the domain? Tell us the domain.
I guess that kind of
God, tell us the domain.
No, sure. I'm not going to tell you.
It's got to be crispy.
It's kind of just, you know.
It's crispy something.
I guess we're not getting back together after this.
Have you guys – one of my favorite internet domain stories is I think it's Nissan.com. Are you guys familiar with this story? It's kind of a famous internet story, and it's amazing. So in – you know, like the internet didn't get real big until like 1997, 95,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
in that area,
yeah.
you know. But this dude, in 1989, Tom Nissan, who runs a computer service out of his garage
yes.
in, I think, Connecticut, bought Nissan.com. And Nissan, the car company, when they finally decided they wanted an internet site in the late 1990s, started suing him. But what's hilarious, if you go to Nissan.com now, it barely – he's been fighting them for so long, and he's just an old curmudgeon at this point, that the whole website is about, read the details of how I fucked Nissan. It's all about the lawsuit and not even his computer services anymore.
Nice.
But yeah, you hear some of those. Like, I love internet domain name stories. I don't know why. There's a whole documentary on how sex.com. Have you ever heard about the history of sex.com? Like, you know, because remember, like, before Google, internet searches sort of sucked. So, like, if you wanted to find, like, you know, everybody has always been looking. Like, there's been studies that if you put a new person on the internet, like, within 7 seconds, they just query sex or something like
sure.
that.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Like, you know, so everyone has always been looking for porn on the internet. And, yeah, it used to be harder to find.
Wait, there's
porn on the internet, yes.
Whoa.
So sex.com thought it would be, like, well, here's your – you can remember that.
One-stop shop.
Yeah, I think it was the highest – I think it was the most – I think that and business.com were the two most expensive domain names of all time.
Sure.
And there's a documentary on it, a fascinating story of how this domain, all these con artists have stolen – every owner who – no one's ever owned it for like more than 18 months because then a con artist steals it from them.
Sure.
By like posing as them in a business meeting and like getting it in their new name and so on.
By the way, Nissan.com brings you to a page that says paying too much for insurance, and it's the worst 8-bit graphic I've ever seen in my life. So Nissan, the guy who owns it, definitely cashed in and is probably
– selling like bogus, like weird ads.
Absolutely. Yeah. He owns that, and Nissan is just like, God damn it. We don't have our shit.
But now
together.
I feel now you don't need it anymore. Like they price, he should have sold it when. Because I feel with Google,
you don't need Google.
Yeah,
all right, so you're right.
Domain name. It's funny how we're back to AOL keywords. In that,
you're absolutely
like
right
Google
because
is, like nobody remembers domain names anymore.
No,
because you either search for them on Twitter or you search for them on Google and you just go to the landing.
I type Nissan in the address bar. It brings up NissanUSA.com. It gets me to USA.
Yes.
It gets me to the Nissan USA site where I can shop for cars and I'm no big deal. I have to type in Nissan.com to get to the asshole who stole the domain.
Or, like I'm drinking a Lagunitas nut right now. Who would ever just go, I want to learn more about their beer. I'm going to type in Lagunitas.com. No, you would go to Google and you would just type Lagunitas. You'd probably misspell it. It would autocorrect
fix it.
And then you click on
yes.
the, yeah.
So our sponsorship is Lagunitas.
Actually, it's Nissan Computers out of Connecticut. It's our sponsor. But I thought that was an interesting – I know another thing that came up, if we want to stay kind of on computers, is that Apple – that court order that Apple has to help with the decryption process for the California shooters.
They're not going
to
do it. Well, they did it.
They were ordered to by the court.
They have already
appealed that.
Sure. So what they've done is they said, okay, the government said unlock the gunman's iPhone for us so we can see who he contacted, if there's any further plans to hurt, you know, the public.
Sure.
And, you know, and so we can look at his phone and his email and his texts, and we're going to do that. And Tim Cook basically said, sure, we got a court order from the government. We complied. But moving forward, we want everybody to know that your iPhone is encrypted. We will not just unencrypt it at the whim of the government. We will make sure that there is a court order. We make sure there is a fucking warrant. We make sure that everything is dot every T, cross every I before we sacrifice the security and privacy of your account. And Tim Cook is going to go in front of Congress and basically say, don't ask us to just fucking unencrypt every phone.
Well, but they're not being asked to unencrypt it to be like kind of, because our listeners are very IT savvy. They're being asked to just break the passcode.
Sure.
So that
they want a back door. Yeah. Right. So they're basically going to go in front of Congress and say, don't ask us to create a backdoor for every time you want to get into an iPhone. We want you to say, here's a court order, here's a warrant, we want you to make a special exception, and then you, Apple, super high security people, will break and get us the information we need.
But it is interesting that the FBI is not asking them to decrypt it. The FBI is asking them to break the passcode. The FBI is saying we want to just have access. Well, I think
get us what we're looking for.
Hard drive.
Yes.
I was told that the FBI said just give us access to the encrypted hard drive.
They're asking what Tim Cook says.
Brute force it, I guess.
So Tim Cook says they're asking for a backdoor to every iPhone.
Yes.
The government basically wants to know that they can get into anybody's iPhone if they need to. So there's basically a shift in, okay, you're asking for this, we don't want to provide you that. Here's where we should land, and here's when privacy should come up for debate.
Don't you think – like, I find it weird that Apple wouldn't just say we can't do that.
They can, though.
That's my point. So what does that mean? What have they actually introduced?
What I heard this morning was –
Can you swing the mic over to you?
They don't – they can't.
Yeah, because it
– That's what I heard this morning.
If now, they can do it, that means
been,
they –
I haven't been following it very closely, but – I heard that they couldn't do it. They don't have the key that the government's looking for.
Exactly. If they can do it, that means they're not encrypting it properly.
Even if they do, if they somehow work behind the scenes and give the government, that's betraying all of...
They have built their business on the fact that your shit is encrypted. Right. We are not going to be able to break into it.
Jennifer doesn't want to expose herself any more than she already has.
Her tics are amazing. They've been exposed once. We're not going to do that again.
It's not going to happen ever
again. Did you get it the first time? Because you're never getting it again.
Yeah, there you go.
However, what Apple wants to say is, we don't just build the backdoor in by default, but the government wants us to build a backdoor in so that we can get in anytime we want, to the point where the government knows the code to unlock everybody's passcode to every iPhone. That's crazy.
Well, in Apple's contention is that the government is saying it's a one-time use.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And Apple is come out in the letter from Tim Cook that says – if we create this software, if we create something to decrypt, it's not a one-time
use. Exactly. It's the nose of the camel.
As long as it gets into your hands or my hands or your hands, it can be used.
I know the master code. I'm going to use it anytime I think somebody might be a drug dealer, might be a terrorist, might be a pedophile, and I'm going to crack into their shit, listen to every text they send, listen to all their phone calls, and monitor their phone, and do whatever I want to do, which... you know, what I just said sounds like, well, we don't care if you're listening to pedophiles and sex offenders and terrorists and whatever, but they may suspect you or I based on some stupid search history, and boom, now you and I are pedophiles because, you know, we search for something
or they could
stupid.
They could pick you up for a separate crime, and if they're able to log everything you do, get evidence against you. You know? I mean...
Yeah, sure. You blew stop signs, and we know you searched for Miley Cyrus when she was 16, and now you know what? You're a pedophile. So we're just going to put you away for 20 years.
What they should do is what I did this week with... I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. My United Airlines fiasco.
Oh, jeez.
They just need to pose as some common Joe, be really polite, call support, and say, can you reset my password for this
phone? Do you know what? I'll bet your support has no idea that this fucking guy killed 30 people.
Exactly.
So if you call, like, hey, and you're this famous shooter,
so
and you just,
God knows that the FBI can get into an email address.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they can get to his Gmail, whatever they...
They should social engineer it.
So just say, genius, I need a password reset for this phone. I forgot it. And I'm sure they can get it in.
Yeah.
I had to do the same thing this week for United Airlines.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It works. So what else?
What? That was Stop awkward. Looking
oh,
at
you
me.
Know what?
God.
There was one other thing I wanted to say about that. I don't know if this is true, but one of the things I read on the internet is, which means it's true.
Everything on the internet
is that
true.
This guy, yes. He worked for the state. He worked for the state of California. He was like a sanitation worker or something like that, I think.
Yeah, some kind of facilities or something.
Yeah, but I guess this was a state of California phone. And if they had properly provisioned it, the state of California
would easily,
if the government wanted, just be like, oh, here it is. But, like, the IT guy, like, totally fucked up. It just handed him the phone, which is also sort of funny.
That would never happen in our organization, though.
In our organization that you accidentally, the guy's out of policy
just
something like that.
Just use this, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is at all times, employees should be.
No names. Yeah. God damn, why'd you use our company
name? They're going to work so hard
to decrypt
this phone, and I wonder if there's going to be anything on it. Because I feel like I have a work phone, and I don't do, like naughty things. But if
really?
I did, I don't feel I would use my work phone.
You don't go to Pornhub.com on your phone?
I don't go to Pornhub.com.
Oh, okay.
While I'm riding the blue line, I don't just go, hey, what are we, let's go 20 minutes on the train here on my work 4G and just watch some porn in public.
Wait, let me get a VPN.
Volume on, no headphones.
I'm going to connect a VPN and then go to Pornhub and then do a bunch of searches.
You know what? All right. Let me use our, network boost. I'll get on VPN.
WAN Accelerator, don't fail me now.
Because I want them to know exactly what I'm doing.
So, all right. Separate
is that
topic.
Is that the IT person's equivalent of, you know, you always have that dream where you show up for work naked, you know, or
you're in your underwear.
In high school, you show up to school.
Naked. Yeah.
Is the IT person's fear you're watching porn and you're like, fuck, I was on VPN.
God damn, I was on VPN.
I forgot to turn it down.
Oh, they saw it all.
I was fixing DirSync and watching porn. Fuckers. Damn it. They know now. They know. Anyways.
They know my secrets.
Yeah, hopefully you were going to a pretty normal porn
I hope you
site.
Put that in your transformation transition to the
yep.
company.
Yep.
This is how you fix DirSync.
Yep.
First of all, you go to Pornhub.com.
I mean... You got to ease the tension
and then
on
one screen.
Do a nice soft
There's
refresh.
There's actually a PowerShell forum in there somewhere.
It's deep, deep, deep.
Get MSOLporn.com.
I used to work level one phone calls.
Oh, you're
at a local ISP back when the internet was starting. This was 1991. Okay, woo! You know, so it was like bulletin boards, shit like that.
Dude,
yeah,
we're still in high school back then.
What? I was in high school. I worked in high school at this internet service provider. But what was funny is, whenever we had a problem, you didn't even need a monitor. The creepy porn guys would call in the second there was a problem, you know, and you wouldn't even know there was a problem yet because, like, there were no monitors back then. And anyway, but it would be funny because they would be into the weirdest shit, you know, and a dude would just call like, hey, I think you're having a problem. And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't gotten any phone calls. And I mean, I guess I could try and bring up a way. So you definitely have a problem, you know. And I'm like, all right, where are you trying to go, sir? He goes, not comfortable sharing that.
Nope. Yeah. Not going to tell you.
Like, well, I can't verify. I go, well, can you at least give me, like, the domain name? He goes, you try and bring something up. And I would go, like, CNN.com, and it would, like, work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I the webpage I'm looking at is okay. He goes, okay, no judgment. And then they would say, like, the weirdest shit, you know? It would be, like, you know... And then sometimes it would be a problem on their end, too, because they would tell me the URL, and, like, you know, this is 1991, so it would come down in, like sort of waves, you know, you'd see, like, the image, he would give me the URL, the image would come down in, like ace, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
you'd say,
okay, I think I see I'm a woman. Oh, I think she's with the horse. He goes, guess it's a problem on my end. And just
whoops. Okay. Whoops.
You would hear that kind of
thing. We're going to end this call.
I feel like I'm turning the podcast into a gross.
No, it's happened before. It's all right.
Yeah.
Rate my performance on a scale of 1 to 10. Thank you very much.
Are you satisfied with my support?
We would also get guys. That was before browsers realized that the internet was just for porn.
Oh, my God.
So nowadays you go into a browser and they're just like, how can I hide what you're doing? Like, Firefox has that Eyes Wide Shut logo for like incognito mode.
Oh my god.
They're like self-cleaning ovens or something.
Every time. But so when I want to clear my cookies because I'm testing something and I'm not looking at porn, but when I'm testing something, it basically says, did you know you could have not deleted your entire history by going into incognito mode or private mode or this? And it's kind of like,
and I love that the newer ones are like, how long do you want to delete it for? Maybe you only need 15 minutes, you know? Like, you know, maybe you've only been doing something here and you're done. And, you know.
What do you need, 4 or 5 minutes? We'll delete that. 4 or 5? Yeah. 60 minutes? What do you mean? 2 hours? Yeah. 3 hours? Yeah. What do you need? We'll delete that.
Man, it takes me 8 hours.
Yeah, like, what do you need?
It's like hourly rates at a hotel. I feel dirty
you
doing
need,
this.
What do you need, 90 seconds? Yeah. We'll delete 90 seconds. Let me know.
But what's funny 2 minutes? Is back in 1991, they didn't have any of that. You know?
Oh, God.
And
91? Are you kidding me?
You know, so the browsers didn't have that, but some of our customers had like...
it took you 90 seconds to get online. It took you 90 seconds to load a picture.
They would have ISDN lines, and some of the high-speed porn dudes would have, you know, these higher access points.
You would load a picture of Kathy Ireland in 90 seconds, be done, and be like, all right, clear that history. Clear that history.
They didn't know how. That was the thing. They would call and they'd be like, listen, dude, my wife's coming home, and, every time you try and type, like, MSNBC.com, it auto-completes a porn site with them. like many women, many naked. It's like, how the fuck do I get... And you used to have to go into the Internet Cache folder.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody could pronounce cache
AOL.
Back cache. Then.
Yeah, AOL.
You would have to take them into, like, see a cache folder. You would have to go into the actual folders and delete it all.
AOL was great at that.
Oh, AOL. See, AOL, AOL was... Isn't it funny how they were ahead of the game?
So ahead, and then it's just like they lived on that, and then it was like, oh my god, AOL, you're so behind. It's like you were so ahead. What happened? But AOL.
It's amazing how the modern internet has become so user friendly. It's AOL.
The keywords of AOL to find what you were looking for.
Clearing your Clash, you know, your cat, just making everything easy.
How about you are an AOL person, you're going to surf the net via the IE version that is AOL certified.
Yeah.
You will not get any viruses. You won't get any, you know, any of that
everything
stuff, any spam.
You don't have the JavaScript.
And that was great. Yeah. And you paid for it. You don't have to worry about your computer being hosed every 6 days.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh my God, AOL is totally worth this. And then, you know, broadband happened and AOL was like, well, we're still going to provide you the safety. But your speed is going to be shit and you're going to pay twice as much. And you're
the browser's getting better. They killed them.
Sure. The Firefoxes.
I think then you're like, okay,
Mozilla.
Well, you're,
sure.
You don't give us software and we don't need you for access anymore. Like, what do you do?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
What else?
But the reality of it is,
poor AOL.
Like, it all goes back to porn.
It does. I mean, the internet, I mean, it is fascinating how much.
Broadband,
of it,
porn.
Yeah.
No need for AOL.
It's too we. Slow. And tell me to stop because I don't want to keep talking.
Stop.
Sometimes this is my only venue for sharing these stories because I can't really share these with my normal friends. So when I said that I worked at an ISP, we were a test market for Time Warner Roadrunner service. This is like 1991 to 1994.
Oh yeah.
So this was 5 megabyte download speeds in 1991 to 1995.
Sure.
I mean, think about that. Like a lot of, like, some people don't have that nowadays. And it, like, I would install the routers. I saw it ruin people's lives.
Oh,
like, it was like mainlining the internet into.
What did we miss last week? Go.
But just like the porn, like. There were some people that just couldn't get offline because they had never seen anything like that. Like, they had never been able to, like, you know, and they just became, like, addicted to porn. So
they couldn't get off or couldn't get offline?
They couldn't get off. They couldn't get offline. Well,
my God, look at the stars.
Yeah, I mean, it was just amazing, you know? It's like, and I was like, Jesus, this seems unhealthy, you know?
So one thing that a couple guys saw this past weekend, Gavin's not here, but Deadpool. Should we talk about this week?
Oh, the movie? Yeah.
Should we talk about this week or next week?
I haven't seen it. Let's talk about... No, I'd like to hear you guys' thoughts.
Mike, have you seen it? Yeah, we saw it last Friday.
So one of my best friends is...
Yep,
we saw it. He's one of my best friends.
Well, should we save this?
So, TJ.
Let's talk.
No, talk about it.
I saw Star Wars, just for the record.
Okay.
Oh, finally. Okay, we can talk about that.
Really? Like 2 months later, you saw Star Wars?
I saw Star Wars.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's talk about Deadpool.
I heard it was good.
So Deadpool, here's my history of Deadpool.
And you love comic book movies and comic books.
Right. So this is Dion. Yeah. And I'm talking about Professor Xbox. This is my history of Deadpool. When Deadpool was introduced to me in the comic books, I hated Deadpool because Deadpool seemed to be an overinflated, super, never going to die. No matter what happens to him, he's always going to live. He's going to be some smart ass. I hated him because he killed Spider-Man. He killed Captain America. He kills anybody he comes in contact with.
I agree with you.
Deadpool is just a smart ass guy who goes, oh, I don't give a fuck because I can't be killed, so I'm going to fight Captain America and murder him, and guess what? I just ruined the entire Marvel Universe, okay? So Deadpool and I were not on good terms when I heard his movie was coming out. And then I heard Ryan Reynolds was cast as Deadpool, and I said, oh shit, Van Wilder is the perfect fucking casting for Deadpool. And I said, but I still hate his character in the Marvel world because they have basically nerfed his character. He's too powerful for what he is. Like, he can kill anybody. They built an entire storyline where Deadpool kills every single superhero in the Marvel Universe. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you, Deadpool. I hate you. This is my history of Deadpool in the comic book world to the movie world, okay? And then I kept seeing all these commercials and YouTube videos about the Deadpool movie, and I'm like, that is fucking hilarious. Like, Ryan Reynolds was made to play Deadpool. His sarcastic, I don't give a shit, I'm gonna say whatever I want attitude fit the character. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna watch this movie. I like this movie. I even bought a graphic novel where Deadpool kills the entire Marvel Universe. I bought it. I read it. It's actually hilarious. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert here, okay? All right. So in Deadpool's Marvel Universe, the comic book writers give Deadpool... Stop it, Dan. You're going to love this. They give Deadpool...
Spoiler, bitch.
They give Deadpool the ability to kill and the smarts to kill anybody. He kills Thor. He kills Spider-Man. He kills everybody. I'm not going to tell you how. Go buy the comic book.
Just a dream.
Nope. Go buy the comic book. At the end of the comic book, I'm going to ruin the ending, though. At the end of Deadpool's reign, where he kills every fucking Marvel Universe character, he basically walks up to the door where the writers are writing the Deadpool story where he kills everybody. He goes, listen to this, guys. These fucking writers are about to kill me. I'm going to walk in this room and kill every fucking writer. And then I'm going to come after you and I'm going to kill you. So I've essentially killed everybody in the Marvel Universe, the writers who wrote me, and I'm going to come after you. And that's the end of the whole fucking story. And I'm like, you know what? I like that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy with that. Because he walks up to the door, he knocks on the door, and the writer's like, how are we going to kill Deadpool? He's too fucking strong. And he's basically like, I'm going to kill the writers before they kill me. And that's the whole story of Deadpool, where he looks at the camera. I watch the movie. He turns, he talks to you in the middle of, you're watching this movie. He breaks the fourth wall, and you're basically like, oh shit, I can relate to Deadpool because he knows he's going to teabag that bad guy. He's going to talk to me. I'm going to relate, and that's it. I don't give a shit.
Do we need to bring Peyton Manning into this?
No, we don't need. Oh, I said teabag, and you said Peyton Manning. So we're not going to talk about that.
But okay, so I'm sorry. I'm not the comic book guy, but this is Dan.
All right, Dan.
But is there crossover in the movie, not comic books, but in the movie Marvel Universe?
Yeah.
Is there crossover between X-Men?
Yeah. Yeah.
Between most of them, I don't know if Deadpool seems to be its own thing, and I don't know how much crossover.
So why are the X-Men sitting on their hands when the other guys are all getting alien invaded?
That's an awesome question.
Yes.
And there's only crossover unless it would make the plot less interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, because I see that. It's funny. Like, they're trying to do crossover with the Daredevil TV show, too.
Sure.
And it's like, sometimes it's like, okay, you know, at the end of the day, no.
So not
one
to,
of the Avengers would show up and solve
not
this.
To ruin the entire Deadpool movie, but he basically turns to the camera at one point and goes, so listen, Marvel can only afford fucking Colossus and this teenage bitch. If we could afford more Marvel characters, we would include them, but we're low budget. Nobody believes in this fucking movie.
And Stanley so, is pretty old.
Yeah. So we don't know. He actually turns to the camera, and as you're watching this movie in the movie theater, he goes, nobody believed in this movie. We could only afford two fucking X-Men, so we're going to do the best we can. And I got Colossus and some fucking teenage bitch.
But I will staple Hugh Jackman's face.
Oh, yeah. So Deadpool's whole thing is, I can regenerate better than Wolverine. So the whole point of the movie is, I'm better than Wolverine at any point in this movie. And he and that's a funny point where it's like, okay, and I know Wolverine's played by Hugh Jackman, so I'm going to fucking reference Hugh Jackman in the movie. So you've got Ryan Reynolds making fun of Hugh Jackman and Wolverine and the X-Men series and Marvel and fucking Stan Lee. And you're just like, dude, I'm overwhelmed by the fact that I love this movie. That's really where it was for me and you.
The interesting part about the movie, too, though, is some of the things I read this week where some of what was included in the movie as far as the comments about not being able to afford.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are actually true.
Yeah.
They capped it at $58 million budget. And they said every time Ryan Reynolds would go back and be like, I think we need to add so-and-so or something.
Oh, let's add this character. No. You only get Colossus and this nuclear teenage bitch.
But
that's
I think
it.
The best thing for me was, this is the, if I recall, it's the first R-rated.
Yeah.
Marvel.
First R-rated Marvel movie. And it was totally justified. And, holy shit.
But I don't know if parents.
Teabag.
We're paying attention to
that rating. Kids were there? I would say
when
my
we
kids
went,
Deadpool.
Oh my god, dude.
We were like, wow, there's a lot of young kids in here.
That is a great point to bring up.
Within 60 seconds, you hear Teabag in a fight scene, right?
Yeah.
When he's rubbing his nuts on somebody's face.
Yeah.
And parents are immediately like, oh, this is
shit.
What did I do?
Literally, Mike and I went to Deadpool. The row behind us was five. I'm going to give them junior high, okay? They were barely fucking junior high kids.
Yeah.
Boys with their dad who got them in the movie.
Yeah.
So let's say it's five or six junior high kids with their dad. Sitting right next to Mike is probably a 12 or 13-year-old girl with her grandmother who barely speaks English, who covered her eyes during a few parts of the movie where he's fucking the shit out of his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And behind us, the row of boys where the dad is basically like trying to like, all right, don't tell your mother I let you see this movie because this is fucking ridiculous. And we're like, who the fuck thinks their kid should go see Deadpool rated R? Like, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And it was every bit of an R rating, right? It wasn't
sure,
a debatable.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Well, that could have been.
No.
If they took this or this.
No.
Side.
No.
Right?
I mean, even the violence was R rated.
But
let's forget the sex parts. The violence was R rated. And then the comments that he made about, like, literally skull fucking people, you're just like, oh my god. Like. Yeah, cover her ears, eyes, mouth, nose, every orifice because she could not interpret any of this.
And I don't know if you saw this, but today I read a story about the next X-Men movie.
Yes.
That because of the success of Deadpool, that they're looking to make that an R.
Make it R. Make it R. They're going to make it R. And
the Wolverine one. They're making Wolverine. The next Wolverine.
I'm sorry, Wolverine. You're
right. Wolverine Part 3 is going to be R-rated.
Yes.
What I was reading, because
you're going to rip him apart and he's going to fuck the shit out of some hot chick. That's
my
what
wife
that's,
and I have been trying to catch up.
Sorry.
So we've been reading, or we've been watching all the X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all
with Hugh, his hands.
It's Hugh Jackman who's saying,
Wolverine,
I want this all PG.
Yeah.
I want this to be accessible to the the
TH crowd. Well, it makes so much more money. That's why they do it.
And so
until Deadpool came along.
Yeah.
But it's
a different formula though. I feel for Deadpool. Deadpool's making a lot of money, but it's also got a small budget. I think they can make Wolverine an R-rated movie, but something like the Avengers, where it has that big of a budget, I think has to be PG-13 probably.
Agreed.
Because you can't pay for all those actors and everything. But yeah, like these one-offs, yeah, why not make them? It should probably just be true to the fans who want to see it. And if he's an R-rated superhero,
Deadpool should be a franchise that's rated R moving forward. And if parents want to let their children experience it because they've seen Avengers and they know, you know, Thor and they know Iron Man and they know whatever, then it's basically like, listen, you can't watch Deadpool because Deadpool's a fucking asshole and he does this. And you don't watch it. And,
well, yeah, and if you do that little research for your kids watching a movie, then, you know, problem's on you. You know, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, the great part is they've already greenlit Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2 is going to be good.
They made $128 million.
They're going to have that
weekend for a $58 million budget.
They're going to have double the budget, double the cast. They'll have more X-Men. They may even have fucking Avenger, you know, whatever. So I think Deadpool earned its pull in the Marvel world in the fact that he was R-rated. He did what he's going to do. And he delivered.
It was a nice change of pace.
Oh, it was so good. I mean, it was so good.
All the Marvels.
God, I love the fact that when they ripped the mask off Deadpool, his girlfriend, who hasn't seen him in 3 years, who doesn't even know he's fucking alive, spoiler alert, pulls his fucking mask off and goes, wait a minute, you have a fucking mask on. He's like, yep. And what mask was on his face?
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's Hugh fucking Jackman, because he fucking hates Wolverine.
Yeah.
Deadpool hates Wolverine, because it's like, you don't fucking know how to regenerate. I know how to regenerate. So
I still love that he stapled it to his head.
He stapled it, and the chick's got to pull staples out of his face. It's amazing. So we're spoiler alerting it, because if you haven't already seen it, you're not going to see it until it hit fucking Netflix. But make sure you see it on Netflix, because it's so fucking good.
We have not ruined it for you.
I feel that's a long tradition of absent-minded dads taking you to movies that you shouldn't have seen.
Oh, totally.
my dad took me. He knew I always liked robots, and he took me to see RoboCop at age 8.
Oh, nice. Shit. They raped.
Probably the hardest R of a 1980s action movie. It, like, you know, and I remember us both walking out, and we were like, yeah, neither one of us was ready for that.
Don't tell your mother about this.
My parents fall asleep during all movies, so they don't remember anything. So we would go to the library and rent movies. And my little brothers were always very into hunting and, like, camouflage and everything. So they asked to rent Deliverance.
Oh, gosh.
They were, I think, 4 and 6, respectively. And my parents had seen it but fell asleep during the rape scene.
Oh, jeez.
So they're like, oh, yeah, sure, not a problem. It's mostly a rafting movie. And my mom tells this great story.
Oh, my God.
The next day, one of my middle brothers is wrestling with my other brother. He goes, I'm going to make you squeal like a pig, boy.
Dude, so this is a total – I literally talked about this week with Mike and a couple friends, where not only did – so Saturday Night Live did this whole thing about watching the Terminator movie with his parents. And there's this really weird, awkward sex scene where
– with Kyle and Sarah Connor?
Exactly.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. They're having sex, and it's way too long, and it's way too intimate.
Yeah.
And he's like – and SNL basically is like, holy shit, like, how do I break the tension here?
Yeah.
And – SNL basically is ruins every way you would break the tension. It's more awkward and it's hilarious, right? But I literally the week before was talking to friends, Mike, about how watching The Sopranos with not only my parents, my siblings, and my grandparents every freaking Sunday was so awkward. This was like a week or week and a half before.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so this week they're going to be in the strip club, and this guy's going to watch the strippers. But guess what? He's going to get a blowjob this week. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm watching a guy getting a blowjob in front of my grandparents, my brother, my sister, my parents. And I'm like, so the whole thing was...
the Italians would turn the Soprano into a family event.
It's a family event, but basically what I would always do, and this is probably a Pepsi commercial in the making. I would basically go... Dad, you want a Pepsi? Grandpa, Grandma, you guys want a Pepsi? You want a coffee? You want a Pepsi? You want a coffee?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I'm going to get up. I'm going to break the tension because this chick's getting railed right now. And I cannot watch this with my parents or grandparents.
So, growing up as kids, what was your first exposure to an R-rated movie with...
Like, your parents in the room?
No. Just in anything. Like,
RoboCop was the first.
Not even like that, but like nudity.
I know what mine was.
I know what mine was.
Animal House.
Mine was not Animal
House. Mine was Animal House. Was
Revenge of the Nerds.
No.
Really?
Mine was Animal House.
Revenge of the Nerds. With nudity was Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah.
I remember my first time, I was at a sleepover with a friend in first, second grade. We watched the original Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Christy. Beverly D'Angelo.
Oh, Beverly D'Angelo. Yeah.
Christy Brinkley is never nude in it. She's always off camera. Well,
they show her jump in the pool.
Yeah. But she's so fast you could.
Right.
She's nude enough.
No, but when you're like third grade, that was the best.
I always had a thing for Beverly D'Angelo too, yeah.
Yep.
A lot of us did, Sean.
Until Entourage. I got the 60-year-old smoker voice.
Oh, does she?
You know, and you're like, oh, I miss the the young
John. John, what was the thing we missed last week? We wanted to cover this week.
So we actually
Vendor Scum.
We had a couple good Vendor Scums last week. So I'll regroup here. So
Scum.
Yes. So this
we had some technical difficulties last week, and the Vendor Scum is a segment where we go over the emails where a vendor is trying to contact us and say, hey, we'd like to talk to you about this meeting or blah, blah, blah. And the Vendor Scum segment is brought to you by John.
Yes. So it's a group effort, but we're waiting for Sean to come back.
No, go. Go. We'll figure it out.
But, so we get emails every week, and everyone comprises their list. But this one came in last week. It says, your employee's attention span is getting shorter and shorter.
Shorter and shorter.
A new study reports people lose attention after 8 seconds. Goldfish lose their attention after 9. I'm sorry.
This is the Vendor Scum that I shared. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Totally. Go. Yes. So
basically, your employees have a less attention span than a goldfish. And then the next point is a recent study reported that employees would rather suffer a bad hangover than sit through a performance review with their bosses. And
So at this point,
Sean,
who's not here right now, who will comment in a minute, basically said, I would rather go through a HR review of my performance every single day than deal with the hangover once a week. So here it comes now.
So, Sean, we're talking about
Sean, you'd rather deal with an HR review than a hangover any time of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Easily.
And if I knew, like, when I was out drinking and I'm, like, debating about, like, having, like, say, that sixth beer. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to feel terrible the next morning. But if I knew, I'm like, oh, well, I'll just be reviewed.
It's just a review.
I would have that sixth beer. No questions asked.
It's a 30-minute review and then I'm done. Yeah.
You know exactly which beer.
You're like, you're holding that beer in your hand. You're like, this is the one.
I think you do know that. It's like you see like that big linebacker coming at you. And you're like, this is the one that's going
to
cause
when you send an email to HR. You say, can I get her performance
review? Can I get her performance review?
So it is.
Who the fuck would rather a hangover? I feel like I'm dying in a hangover. So either these people don't have as bad a hangover as I do.
I feel they're more
worried about their job security.
The quality of your hangover might be worse than most. That's all I'm saying.
Is it just have a hangover cure?
Yeah, just give me a review and I get my hangover gone. Yeah. It'd be awesome.
If you knew no matter what you drank the night before, you could listen to somebody tell you how bad you're doing at your job, and 30 minutes later, the hangover was done, and you still had your job, you'd be like, yeah, fuck that shit.
I wouldn't even care if I still had my job. Yeah. If they got rid of the hangover, I'd be fine. Like, you know, I'm on point. You can fire me at any point. As long as you cure my hangover.
It's so worth it. But, yeah. Oh, my God.
My hangover's gone.
Yeah, fuck this shit. Fuck that shit.
I have two interviews this afternoon. That's great. I'll nail them.
Oh, my God.
Why are you thanking me?
Well, yeah. Oh, my God. All right. So we revisited one of the major points that were missed in last week's podcast. Yeah,
that was one of the major ones. So was.
Do you remember the other one?
I forget.
Really?
We had two vendor scums from last week, didn't we? One was from you, wasn't it, Dion?
But that was mine.
That was from Dion.
Oh, that was okay.
Yeah. And John's was different. Scum,
but now I can't remember.
Let me see if we have any others.
Well, I just think it's kind of funny in that, and I shouldn't launch Link while I'm trying to record because I'm sure it'll crash.
Don't do it.
It'll crash everything we're doing.
Jesus Christ. As far as vendors, we've had a lot of vendors try to do Star Wars themed emails.
Yeah.
And I got one this week from Orbitz. Which is not
a travel
really a
site, yeah.
Exactly, not really a vendor scum, but the subject was John Skywalker. Chicago flights are strong with you.
Nice.
So Orbitz obviously knows my first name and where I live. They're sending out emails in the Star Wars theme.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
And think you're about 12.
Exactly. So we'll fly you to Disney World, and
did anybody see the Funny or Die Trump?
I watched a little bit of it. It's an hour long, like it's a sizable
Johnny thing. Depp did a huge Trump spoof, and I think it was pretty funny, but I think the trailer that's 2 minutes is worth, like, yeah, definitely watch the trailer for the 2 minute trailer for it. Don't watch anything else. Like, I think it was very funny, but
I was surprised how long it was. Yeah.
They put a lot of time and effort into it, and I think it made its impact. But, like, for you and I and everybody else, like, watch the trailer and enjoy it. It's very funny. It makes good points, but I don't know. Like, it's in our list of things like, hey, this is what happened this week. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. It's not really a top 10. It's kind of funny. Check it out. Google it. Go to YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's funny, you know, but...
So one of my biggest concerns this week is Kanye is broke.
Oh, that's a funny
story. Oh, my God. He begs Bill Gates. Hey, Bill Gates, fucking email me? Zuckerberg, can you fucking email me because I need some money?
Kanye is $28
million. $53 million.
How could he be that broke?
He's keeping up the Kardashians. That's what happens. God, so
they are such whores.
So he launches this fashion line of clothing that costs like anywhere from $5,000 for a pair or $500 for a pair of sweatpants to like thousands of dollars for shirts and jackets. And he doesn't understand why it's not making money. I don't get it. And then he, like you guys said, he tweeted Mark Zuckerberg, like, hey, let's talk, you know, call me, let's figure out a deal.
I will sell my soul to Facebook if you will bury me or unbury me from debt. Yes.
And he recently launched a new album that was not put on any, like, iTunes or anything. He launched it exclusively on this up-and-coming,
streaming service.
Who hasn't asked Mark Zuckerberg to...
$53 million. Yes.
You know, solve themselves from debt.
I think I probably got a better chance than Kanye, though, of getting Zuckerberg to give me $53 million.
I don't know.
The chances. But I'm just saying, if I'm Zuckerberg and I'm looking at Kanye, I'm like,
not really good business.
What music service did he launch it on?
He went with some. What was the name of the company? It was very low.
I saw a lot of my friends complaining on Facebook that they weren't able to download it. That there were like bandwidth problems and everything.
Tidal.
Yeah,
Tidal.
Tidal. Yes.
So it's a high fidelity music streaming service. But it's owned by who? It's owned by someone very popular, very big.
Jay-Z?
It's owned by Jay-Z.
Yeah. I know Jay-Z has launched his own product that competes with Apple Music and everything. Yeah.
But it really can't compete with the big iTunes or...
Well, it's probably never had that level of volume spike before, you know. He needs to find somebody to pay him $53 million for...
7 years, bad luck unless you repost this.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I watch the Grammys religiously, speaking of music. And Neil Portnow always talks about the fact that the money that is generated for actual musicians through Spotify, through iTunes, through whatever method you do, is basically percentages of pennies on the dollar.
It's
right?
Terrible.
I think on average it's 1 cent is what...
So Neil Portnow,
the president of the Grammys, basically says, listen, if you really enjoy our music, just pay for it. Buy the CD.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the premium service of whatever you do. So subscribe to the premium service of Spotify. Subscribe to the premium service of iTunes. Whatever it is, just do the premium service so that we can actually get the money that helps promote the musicians to make the music and promote kids in schools doing their music, right? And I completely agree with that. Like, I'm a huge Neil Portnow fan, and whatever he says every year, I just go, okay, I will do that, Neil, because I love you. I'm like a huge, he's a big guy in music industry, right? I was a music major for the first 2 years of my college degree. I played saxophone for many, 10 years, okay? And I'm a big sponsor of, okay, if you like this music, you pay for it and you do it. And I do that.
I don't think Kanye cares about the kids in the
school. No, I will give you, Kanye probably doesn't care.
Oh, Kanye, that's his nonprofit is to get music and art.
It's important, but what the Grammys and Neil Portnow do every year is a huge and important thing for me, and I do pay and sponsor and donate to anything that the Grammys say is important. And our friend and family member, Wicked Magpie, is how I got started in that. So I will say,
why have you played sax for us, Dan?
Oh, that's a good question.
I will.
You should record an intro for the WWIT podcast.
I agree.
It would be too sexy for
one
this
of those
group.
Sexy 80s.
No, it's too sexy. Too sexy.
Yeah.
I'm too sexy for this podcast.
Little red set truck.
like those detective shows they used to have in the 80s.
Yep. It would be smoky and there'd be naked women bodies in the background. That's how I would introduce this podcast. So
it's actually kind of interesting though, because to the point about music, I mean the album format itself, I mean it's a single based industry at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes, they put out singles, albums, but it's right, really about singles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you've got bands out there that still have the same draw from a touring perspective, but instead of selling 15, 16, 17 million copies of an album, they're now selling 2 million.
You know,
and it's because they can go stream it or do whatever they want.
They're making ad money from YouTube. Right. They're making this money from that. Facebook's got paying this or whatever. So sure. Yeah. They release a song. They make their money, and then it goes on the internet, and they make different money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ruining music, actually. And I think the Grammys made a huge statement. It's like, listen, you guys can listen to your free Spotify all you want. And there's ads that pay for these musicians. But when you don't pay for music and you don't pay for a streaming service, you're literally giving the artist who made that music – like a tenth of a dollar on what they did to produce that music. So you got to pay for the premium service. You got to pay for Spotify Premium. You got to pay for iTunes Match. You got to pay for this. You got
to
pay for that.
Or they need to make those services pay more, because we didn't pay anything when we listened on terrestrial radio, but everybody made enough because the ad money made enough. So,
that was the big thing.
Spotify.
Was that big argument
where. Yeah.
Apple said, well, we're going to pay you this much per stream. And the artist came back and said, I'm not putting anything on here. And they wound up doubling down. And Apple caved, which is very unusual.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. They I think they're letting Spotify and Apple get away with it. Like, I think people don't mind listening to a commercial if they're going to have it for free.
So, but like Taylor Swift has basically said, listen, Spotify, you have not done everything I think you should do to get the money that is demanded for not only me, but all the other artists. So therefore, you can't play any of my music on Spotify. You can't search and play any Taylor Swift music on Spotify. Therefore, you need to pay or do another service for Taylor Swift music. And, you know, my daughter loves Shake It Off, right? So I bought her the fucking CD. I own it. We're good. Whatever. But I had to do that because Spotify, iTunes Match, and all that, all the other services forced me to the point where it's like, well, I'm better off just spending the, like, $9.99 for the Taylor Swift album than paying X amount of dollars for the year of subscription for Spotify or, sure, you know, whatever. So my four-year-old who says, I love that song, I want to listen to it all the time in the car, boom, I bought it, I own the CD, I ripped it, I play it in my car all the time, my daughter enjoys it, we sing it, I'm going to admit,
are you singing it on the way to AC/DC tonight?
I will not sing Taylor Swift tonight, but when I'm in the car with my daughter, I will sing Shake It Off.
Yeah.
You might get me up tonight.
Yeah.
So, interesting comment, right?
But that's where I'm at, right? Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Guess what the number two tour was of 2015 next to Taylor Swift? Taylor Swift was number one.
Number two.
In terms of attendance or money?
Attendance and gross.
Apropos. I'm glad we had you in this podcast.
I would say Rolling Stones.
Nope.
Larry the Cable Guy?
Larry the Cable Guy. Oh,
he's always higher up than people realize.
All right, so what's
Cirque du Soleil?
It's actually AC/DC.
Oh, is it?
That's who we're seeing tonight, by the way.
Have not changed in 40 years, interesting that they were number two behind.
Now, do they
back in black, bitch?
They have a bassist that's accused of trying to hire a hitman.
Drummer, Phil Rudd.
Is that guy still touring with them?
No, they brought back Chris Slade.
Okay.
Chris Slade is a drummer who most people remember him from Thunderstruck.
Yeah.
From that album, because he only played on one album with them, toured, and then they brought Phil Rudd back after that.
Yeah.
So he's back.
Nice.
You see the bald guy doing his thing.
Yep, I can't wait. We're going to have fun tonight.
And it's funny.
That guy looked old in the 90s,
I know,
too,
right?
Man.
He's 68 years old.
Yeah.
Damn. The funny part about it is they're like, hey, he's the only guy who can play Thunderstruck, right?
Yeah.
You know?
So it's Wednesday.
He's not for trying to kill somebody.
And he's not trying to kill anybody.
Wednesday, February 17th, 2016. We're about to see AC/DC tonight. And
bucket list.
Bucket list, yeah.
We're going to cross this shit off our bucket list. Yep. We're not driving the Camaro.
If you wait any longer, one of them might die.
Yeah, exactly. We're not driving the Camaro there. We're not driving the Camaro there because it's too fucking salty and rain and snowy. But
it could be either.
You could take the Green Line or the Blue Line. You could, from Monks, if you're going to Monks again, hop on the Blue Line right there. Or take a cab.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Blue Line?
So what other topics do we have? Okay. Are we about ready to wrap up?
Well, we got an hour in.
We got about 6 or 7 minutes left of podcast material. Yeah.
Right, you want to do a closing topic? I don't have one, but go ahead.
We have a lot of closing topics. All
right, let's pick a last topic.
So we've already covered Deadpool, and we've done a bunch of things. Who the fuck called me? Anyways, we have done no transformation in this week, but I will tell you right now.
Stories about that?
Oh, I don't know. It might be too specific. It might be too specific. What's yours? Because I'll share mine.
Well, we had a transformation call this week.
Yep.
We were identified as people that had tasks that were going to be transformed to the new IBM.
Okay.
Oh, new company. Sorry, Steve. And I got
already bleeped once.
I know. I apologize.
You're allowed to say that word.
I got my summary email today, and it said you have 0 hours of tasks that need to be transferred, but then this task will take 5 hours to transfer to someone else.
Oh, man. You're really doing...
What?
Yeah.
So I have 5 hours...
Oh, my God.
...of time to transfer to the new company my tasks.
Which is 0 hours of tasks.
Right. Yeah.
So you're going to spend 5 hours explaining how you do nothing.
Yes.
Right. I think so. That's how I read this email. But, it's kind of confusing, but...
I don't really want to get into the specifics, but... Problem is, you have been named in a resolution group.
Right.
You do something you're not supposed to do, and it's supposed to be written off to our new IT support group. I'm assuming Steve will just like bleep all the names out at this
point. You haven't said anything bad yet.
I'm about to say a lot of names.
Not yet.
So, but the same thing has happened in our discussions this week regarding everything I've talked about in who should be supporting XYZ in the next 3 months to year. So our current model of operation meets the future model of operation this year. Everything we ever do or talk about is about to transition. And it's interesting to see how our parent company and our vendor and our company, like how the rubber hits the road, right? Who is about to take care of this shit and own it and move forward? And nobody wants that responsibility. And it really is like we are hitting that stride right now. And it is February 17th, 2016. And come March 1st, it's like, okay, we're off and running. And come June, July, August, all right, boom, we're like almost done. And then come the end of the year, it's like, bam, we're done. What's left?
Well, I'm going to be...
And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Who thinks this is going to happen?
I'm going to be in China that week, and I feel safer there than I do here in the United States. So I can't.
I'm out of the office that week, too.
So you and Sean will be out of the office March 1st when the fucking rubber hits the road for projects that are supposed to...
No, I don't mean us being out of the office. Like, our group isn't affected by it.
You know, after a few beers, you say fuck a lot.
I say fuck a lot. Oh, my God.
You should hear him at work.
You know what, Sean? It's not even... So, yeah, I'll give you that. So, the whole point that I take from this is, yes, there's transformation. There's things that will be handed over. There's responsibilities that IBM needs to take or our vendor. And it'll happen. But what we can do right now is prepare ourselves for what we should do and what they should do. And I've got, I don't know, I think I've got 3 or 4 spreadsheets that help define all of that future interaction. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God. And these spreadsheets you do not want to look at. You do not want to know what fucking apps, local office shit we need to do, they need to do. It's just, yeah. Just
somebody bought a haunted house in this deal. and we don't know which company.
This is like forced to own it.
The money pit.
Tom Hanks.
It's basically a couple down to which team has better lawyers to make them fucking accept. No, it's you're doing it. Yeah.
I will tell you the biggest shock of this week for me was knowing that Tom Hanks did not voice the Toy Story version of Woody.
Was it his brother?
Yep.
His brother has an identical voice, and that's his brother's main job, which is kind of funny.
So,
also, unrelated to what we're talking about.
No.
I'm
digressing this conversation to a point where we can all be happy. And
you mentioned Money Pit.
Yes.
Money Pit. I was like, where the hell did that even
come Money Pit, Tom Hanks.
I would say my biggest shock.
The biggest shock of this week.
Who's IBM in this?
Yeah, were you fucked up? We're going to be fired? What is it? Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is not the voice voice of Woody in any of your dolls.
Yeah, no. So Tom Hanks does the movies.
No!
Tom Hanks does the movies, but his brother does all
yeah,
the
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
And the direct-to-TV shit is done by his brother. So his brother sounds.
God, his brother sounds.
The Money Pit, then.
That's Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
And IBM.
And his brother's name is, like, Rick? Rich?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
So that's the whole point is like the biggest shock this week in
you
in
should start every call that way.
February 2016. You guys
want to know the biggest shock I've ever heard.
My brain is blown because the fact that Tom Hanks is not voice.
You guys know what blew my brain today?
Woody.
Tom Hanks is not the voice of
I know you will not support us now. Moving forward with DuraSync. I know you will not support us moving forward with this or password change or anything else. Our password policy is completely fucking blown out of the water. But what you need to realize is the fact that Tom Hanks did not voice Woody for any of the dolls.
Woody the doll isn't even voiced by Tom Hanks. Do we know it's true?
His brother sounds just like him. How do we fucking know when it's Tom or his fucking brother? Ever. Ever.
Are you going to be able to sleep at night?
Nope. Tonight's concert is ruined for me. I'm just going to be in a puzzle. It's going to be a conundrum. It's going to be... I'm going to be perplexed
middle of
forever.
Highway to Hell.
Tom Hanks did not voice God damn you, Tom Hanks.
You record it live and you just hear that in the middle of the... I heard in the Super Bowl, not to go out to another tangent, but I heard
Do
in
it.
The Super Bowl, somehow there was a mic... where it kept picking up some dude going, woo!
Yeah, exactly.
Woo!
I heard about that too, but I didn't notice it, though.
I never noticed it, but...
I either.
Like, millions of people complained about it.
Yes, yeah.
And not to digress, back to the Grammys.
We're all the way digressed. We are digressed to the point
but
of
Adele's
origin.
Performance. We all know Adele is awesome. Her voice is crazy good, right?
On the Grammys?
But on the Grammys...
I heard she had audio problems. I didn't see it.
So the first thing that happened when the audio dropped out like it did, and she was kind of, she had this look on her face like, I'm singing and no one can.
Yeah.
The microphone on the piano fell onto the strings.
Okay.
So they cut audio.
Yeah.
Right?
She couldn't hear the piano.
So she basically couldn't hear the piano because he had to kind of stop and fake it.
In real time, she couldn't hear the piano.
And her monitor.
And then? Yes.
Yeah. So she's literally singing. I mean, Trooper, class act for, but that sound guy's gotta lose his job.
So Adele, here's the awesome thing that I felt from the Adele performance at the Grammys was Adele almost got to the point where emotionally she was about to lose it. She was so deep, so removed from the microphone, so removed from the monitor, so removed from the piano, that she was just singing the song, and you could hear her voice crack. You could hear her voice, like, just weep in the moment for what she was singing. And then, you know, after the fact, everybody's like, oh, shit, yeah. The microphone was fucked up. The piano player is fucked up. And all Adele did was try to sing this song with her emotion. And you're like, God, she did such an amazing – I thought she did an amazing job in that I could sense the emotion. And she you know, transcended the whole I'm performing at the Grammys and this is what it is. And I felt Adele do what Adele does best, is sing and convey emotion. Everybody else was like, oh my God, I can't believe that guy missed this note and that note and the mic was this and Adele missed that note and she cracked her voice here and she was flat there. And that's the benefit of instant replay, where you could watch it a million times and critique. But what Adele did was show me that in a moment where her monitor failed, her pianist failed, and she was just singing pure emotion, she delivered. Because Adele is, in my opinion, Adele's probably the greatest singer we have of our generation that we can, like, hang our hand on and say, oh my God. You know, if we had one person to sing the national anthem or do this or do that, it'd be Adele. She's just that amazing.
Or Lady Gaga.
And Lady Gaga's pretty good too. She did, and I mentioned national anthem because of what she did at the Super Bowl. But I think Adele, Lady Gaga, they're super talented, and they should never be undermined by the fact that a technical problem existed.
But I think,
and they didn't perform because 40 million people are listening, and there's 40 million critiques.
And she certainly and didn't get knocked for
2% of the people didn't like it.
A lot of people, you know, knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And but can you imagine if you're that sound?